All right, Wednesday evening or afternoon, January 15th, 2025. My dad and twin sister's birthday today in heaven. Well, she would have been 95, but he passed at 76. So anyway, she passed at 94. All right. We're going to look at, we've already looked at this part, but this is the second part of that part. So it's called Return to Honor is the series, Rebuilding the Gates is part eight. And we're still looking at the first gate is unity. Okay. We've heard that as America goes, so the other nations go many times. But even broader than that, as the church goes, so America goes. And so the world goes. So keep that in mind as we look at this. Psalms 133, verse 1. It says here, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So God likens unity as to the flow of the anointing. And so the body of Christ has to be united. Yeah. How can we expect our nation to be united if we're not united? If it's true, as the church is, so goes the world. Right? And I'm not talking about the institutionalized church. I'm talking about the body of Christ, the one that walks by the Spirit, flows by the Spirit, because everything that happens and everything that's ever happened on this earth happened in the Spirit first. The church is a spiritual house, not a natural institution. That's probably going to be one of the hardest things that a lot of church-going people are going to have to learn right there. Okay. All right. It's supposed to be one nation under God. That would mean this nation would be a spiritual nation then, wouldn't it? Just think about that, a spiritual nation. Here's what the word unity means. A unit or alike. Alike who? Like a God. The anointing. His plan. His divine order. His way. His word. Yeah. Let's look at Ephesians 4. It talks about the body of Christ and the unity in the body of Christ. That's where it begins. If it doesn't happen in the house of God first, it's not going to happen in the world. This is 4 verse 3. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Verse 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the church is supposed to look like Christ. Be like Christ. Right here, 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we're to look like the perfect man. Jesus Christ, the church, is to reflect that. This word unity here means oneness or unanimity. Oneness or unanimity. Now, let me just read what I put here. Our preoccupation with black versus white, male versus female, liberal versus conservative, rich versus poor, LGBT versus straight. This has divided the church as well as the nation in every way possible. The devil's game is to divide and conquer. And this has been their agenda, the whole deep state devil agenda from day one. We even read it in Genesis 6, to divide and conquer the world. But the church is the light of the world. The alternative is the church is the light of the world. This is Matthew chapter 5. That's what Jesus talked about in his Sermon on the Mount. This is 5 verse 13. He said here, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So unity starts with words. We need to watch what we say right here. When you stop dividing with our speech, then you begin to unite with our speech. And I'm going to qualify what I mean by that. Like I said, this morning I sit down and I say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to bring today? And he usually takes me in a direction I'm not expecting. You know that black person over there, or that white person over there, or that gay person over there, right here. This is how Satan is divided and conquered. We should not see color, sexual orientation, etc., but we should see them as God's creatures that need to hear the gospel. You know, because of what a person looks like or maybe what they believe, it kind of makes you want to crawl back and say, nah, I don't want to mess with that. Well, isn't that who God's sending us to? Aren't they the ones that we need to help the most? Okay. We are not the judge. We are the bringers of God's good news. No matter the person. And it doesn't really matter what they look like on the outside. I'm looking forward to the day that we can look at a black woman and say, that beautiful woman over there. It's always, you know, that black person. What does that do? It separates. All right. We are not the judge. We're the bringers of good news to those that have lost their way. Cast out your nets, all ye fishers of men. Find a place to put your hook in. If you alienate them, you have lost your opportunity. So we have to our like he said here, we're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. He says, you're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. That we shouldn't hide our light or candle under a bushel. It needs to burn bright for all to see. That our speech be the kind that does not differentiate, because they're all creatures. We are all creatures. No matter what color or what thing, I mean, God sends us to them for a reason. This is the Great Commission. All right, let's look at a few scriptures. This is Hebrews chapter 12. First one I want to look at over here. 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the Judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the Mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. This is what it's all about, is bringing people into the kingdom. That's what the Great Commission is all about, that wherever we go, we are people that are always looking where to put our hook in, where God might lead us, to give us a word to say, not to get into arguments, not to alienate anyone. That's why we have to be led by the Spirit. That's why for years the Lord has allowed me to disciple people by just places I go, whether it be my nail appointment, my hair appointment, or someone I see in the grocery store or whatever. That's how He has allowed me to slowly put the hook in. But you have to be really, really cautious, because you're looking for something they say that you can identify with. Not alienate them with, but identify with. Like an experience that you've been through, maybe they are going through the same type of experience. I know one time this lady had lost her brother at an early age. And I was talking to her about Brian at that time. And she said, "Then you know what I'm going through." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I know." So people are looking for someone that can identify with them, that have compassion for them. And that's where you begin to, if they know you understand what they're going through, then they can allow you to interject God's words into their life. Okay, James 5. We do. We need to set our course, and when we go, with an objective that we are taking the Great Commission into our world, and we're on God's radar. In other words, He's leading us and He's guiding us, and we don't miss an opportunity. Instead of just, "Well, we got to get this stuff done." No, we need to not live that way anymore. We need to get His business done. All right, 5:9. "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." I know a lot of things are said flippantly nowadays, and talking off the cuff and all those kind of things, but we really need to watch our words. They need to be with grace, seasoned with salt. Let's go back a little bit to Mark. This is Mark 9. "Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another." This is Mark 9:50. Did I not say that? Well, okay. What I'm saying is, when we leave the house to do our things, we need to always be aware that God might have something for us to do, something for us to say to someone, because sometimes that may be the only opportunity we have, we ever have, or they ever have. Okay, now Mark 16:15. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Every creature. We're to change the world one creature at a time. How are we going to rebuild the gate of unity? It begins with us. We think, well, President Trump's going to come in and he's going to clean house. He's going to do all this stuff. Yes, he's going to do that. But it's not just us, or him, it's us. We have to be part of it. We have to change as a culture. We're more divided than we've ever been because of we've been under the thumb of the evil one and his government and his regime and all of that kind of stuff. And all he's done is divide and conquer. Well, I can't think of any other way to get back into unification like we need to, flowing with the Spirit and following the Spirit, bringing the gospel. You don't get any better than that. All right, we change the world one creature at a time. It's the only thing that can truly unite us. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ with the... Let me just read it. I just flubbed it up. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's the way Jesus operated in his ministry. He didn't have some big church house or institution or a bunch of people that he associated with. He just listened to the Holy Spirit and did what the Holy Spirit said do. Okay, he didn't have to qualify himself. He didn't let the pressure. If every Christian would wake up each day and have a mindset on the Master's business, we could unite the world quickly. It starts with us because we're the lighthouse. The city on a hill. We have to have a mindset like Abraham. We're not after our own business. We're after his. This is Hebrews 11. Start verse 8, 9, and 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He wasn't looking for a piece of land. He was looking to where God was. We're a spiritual house, aren't we? That's what Abraham was looking for. Lord, wherever you lead me today, I'm all in. Okay, now, let's go back. Matthew 8. 28. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gerasenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. If we begin to be led by the Spirit and these things start happening, we're going to draw crowds. That's the point. Jesus followed the Spirit. He heard and obeyed. Always. Okay, John chapter 4. All right, start with verse 1 there. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then he cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And didn't Jesus tell his disciples, do not go anywhere but to the house of Israel? So he went totally out of his jurisdiction to minister to this woman of Samaria. He could have said, Lord, you told me not to go anywhere but the house of Israel. He followed the Spirit. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. He whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. So this woman, she goes and starts telling it everywhere. Draw a crowd by following the Spirit. Jesus could have said, Father, that's not my jurisdiction. He could have said no and reasoned it away. But no, we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. All right. Father has a plan to unify the entire nation, but we must hear him and do our part. Jesus would do a miracle and it would bring the whole city out to see him. Paul would do the same thing. We have to have the same mindset. When God does a miracle through us, it will bring crowds. We have to get used to this kind of thinking. People are hungry for what is real. We are the real deal when we follow the Holy Spirit. Our job is to take up our cross and follow Him. Unity is the first gate of the Constitution, and without it, we cannot progress forward. Now, I'm going to read a few scriptures, and we're going to be done here. Ephesians chapter 4, this is supposed to be one nation under God, not under just another government, but God's government. Ephesians 4:7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, was it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The church government is to be the nation's government. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This is a church that flows as a body. All right, Romans 16. All right, this is starting with verse 17 here. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Okay, a couple of more. 1 Corinthians 1. This is verses 10 and 11. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Shiloh, that there are contentions among you. All right. We should also always keep in mind, like what I said and what I started with, these catchphrases, these things that we've been divided and we use flippantly all the time and don't think anything about it that offend people. Right here, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. Charity just means love here. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails. So when we go about our business, we need to have this in mind, that we are there to do what the Spirit is telling us to do, and we're there to help people. I bind that spirit of sickness that you picked up yesterday. I bind it right now in the name of Jesus, and I command it to go. In Jesus' name.